This is the official EFL podcast with Mark Clement.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the official EFL podcast with me, Mark Clement. In the week when in the Skybet Championship, Watford signed both Dennis Bergkamp and Maurizio Pochettino's sons, and Stoke City signed Ian Wright's grandson. In Skybet League One, Chelsea ladies manager Emma Hayes rebuffed the suggestion that she's in the running for the newly vacant job at AFC Wimbledon. And in Skybet League Two, there was late drama at Blundell Park, where Stevenage surrendered and then retook the lead against Grimsby Town in the 93rd and then 95th minutes. And those are just a few of the headlines on the official EFL podcast. The transfer window has slammed shut for another season across the EFL's three divisions. Preston North End defender Ben Davis moved to injury-ravaged Liverpool caught the eye. So too Josh King's move from Bournemouth to Everton and reunited with Chris Hughton at Nottingham Forest is Mary Port's most famous plasterer's mate turned Brighton and Hove Albion legend, Glenn Murray. And I get the impression, mate, you've had a frustrating time over the last few months.
Yeah, you could put it like that, Clem, but it's just part and parcel of football these days. And it's just a move that unfortunately didn't work out for either party, and you move on and try again somewhere else.
Yeah, this is the move to Watford, obviously. You're 37. While we were getting set up to record this, I can see you, and you showed a decent turn of pace down the stairs to go and get a pair of headphones. At 37, are you still determined to wring every last vestige out of your bricks and mortar and get those extra games under your belt until you can't actually walk?
Yeah, definitely. I think once you get to sort of, well, let's say 34, 35 and above, I think it means even more to you because you know it's sort of not going to last forever, and you appreciate, well, used to appreciate full stadiums and things like that. And hopefully I'll be able to do that again at some point in the future.
Yeah, that's interesting. And I was going to ask you all about that if your mind accepts that your body is perhaps not doing everything that it used to, or whether you just fight on blind. And I've talked to a lot of sports people who are getting towards the end. And I've seen both sorts, from those that are deeply prepared, Glenn, as I'm sure you have, to those that just don't want to accept it, hit the edge of the cliff and then think, oh my goodness, that's it, that's the end.
Do you know what, Clem? That is one thing I've been really, really lucky with is my body. I've been quite robust, not many muscle injuries, touch wood. sort of just been able to train most days, play games, and just ride little injuries and things like that. Obviously, I don't think any footballer at any age ever feels 100% ready to go. You've always got niggles or problems that you learn to manage with age. But like I say, I've been really lucky with my body.
And does the experience that you have manifest in brain power that kind of allows for falls in your physicality? Am I making sense there and all? Can your thought process, because you've been around the game so long and seen most things, kind of provide a little bit of substitution for maybe not quite getting in that gap anymore?
Yeah, I mean, I've never had pace, Clem. Let's be honest about this. Do you know what I mean? I've not lost any. So that was something that used to bother me as a younger man, and I used to look around. I used to be like, geez, I wish I had that extra yard and things like that. That has actually come full circle now, and it's working in my favour because I've got none to lose.
Yeah, and funnily enough, I found a quote from Chris Hughton when he signed for Forest this week, and he actually said, he's not a player who's generally relied on his pace. Now, I think he intended it as a compliment, and I'm glad you're sort of aligned with him. And I think we're on the same page with what I was trying to say. You've always worked off speed of thought and looked for other ways. Your game hasn't been too adversely affected.
No, not too bad. And I think your speed of thought does get better. You get wiser. You know sort of when to run and when you're sort of doing supposedly needless running. And it's just about hitting those gaps, those areas, and making the right runs and the educated guesses of where that ball's going to fall in the box and things. And I think things like that, just they can't be taught.
What about the mental and emotional process of slowly but surely heading towards the edges. You know, when you've been top dog, when you are still the record goal scorer in one championship season, when you do push towards the fringes, have you had to sort of train yourself and counsel yourself in preparation for that?
Yeah, I have. I think your ego takes a little bit of a bashing, but throughout my whole career, I've tried not to have an ego, and I've tried to remain grounded. Coming from where I came from, sort of where I grew up in West Cumbria, and seeing the other side of life being a plasterer before I made it as a footballer has helped me in that capacity. So yeah, obviously, you go to places. I mean, even at the peak of my powers at Crystal Palace, I had to play second fiddle to people. After scoring 30 goals in the Championship, we stepped up the Premier League, a bad injury, and all of a sudden, I'm sort of surplus to requirements. So yeah, it's just part and parcel of it. Do you know what I mean? And naturally, in any club, in any division, no matter how good you're doing as an individual, the club are always looking to progress and get someone better in. That's the nature of the beast.
And listen, you have been brought in the past, taking other people's places. So I guess it works both ways, doesn't it? I'm suddenly doing the maths here and thinking how proud you must be when you remind us, as I did too, that you started life as a plasterer's mate to your old man. When you started with Workington Reds, were they like what is now Conference North?
They were. So it used to be the Unibond.
Okay, so they're one below that.
They were one or two below that because they used to be the Unibond Prem and the Unibond First, I think, if my memory serves me right.
Wow.
So yeah, I mean, me and my dad, and we often speak about that. And literally, if they'd offered me a 10-year contract on a certain amount of money, I'd have signed it, no problem at all, just to be a professional footballer. Because I mean, listen, being a professional footballer, lots of things come with that are fantastic. But when I was starting out at 17, 18, money and things, it didn't matter. I just wanted to play football for a living and to be able to do it every day. And I'm lucky enough to have been able to do that. And I mean, I had to go to America to be able to do that. And I mean, scratched around for a living. But life was good. I enjoyed it. I was young. Some of the best days of my life were spent over there. And it's led on to where I am today.
Yeah, that's amazing, isn't it? So you've had your American experience. You've had whatever division we identify Workington were in. You obviously did the double promotion from what's now the National League to League One with Carlisle. You had your time in League One with Rochdale.
No, step back.
Step back to League Two.
So Basically, when we got back-to-back promotions at Carlisle, that was over sort of an 18-month period of me being at the club because I signed in December. The club just progressed way too fast for me. I just wasn't good enough, top and bottom of it. Yeah, we sort of, within 18 months, I'd signed for a conference club, and within 18 months, I was in League One, and I was like a fish out of water. I was like, geez, I can't handle this. And Paul Simpson was really good to me. And he said, listen, Glenn, you need to get off and you need to play games. And I did. So I went to Stockport for, I think, 9 or 10 games at the bottom of League Two. Really enjoyed it. And then Neil MacDonald came in. Paul Simpson took the Preston job. Neil MacDonald came in and he said, sort of, you no longer wanted at the club, but willing to help you. And it was a toss-up between Accrington Stanley and Rochdale.
Wow.
And I wanted to choose Accrington Stanley at the time because training was a little bit closer to home. still an hour and a half away, mind.
Okay. We know you spend long hours at the wheel.
And he cajoled me into signing for Rochdale and said, listen, if you want a career in this game, you're going to have to sacrifice moving away from where you live, and you're either in it or you're not. And I took his advice, and they've been some of the best words of advice I've ever received. And I signed for Rochdale. I took a step back from League One to League Two, signed for Rochdale for Keith Hill, and that went well.
And look, and from there to when you were at the absolute peak of your powers with Palace, how many years were involved there? Remind us.
From Rochdale to Palace.
Yeah, from Rochdale to Palace via, obviously, Brighton. What was that, 4 or 5 years?
Maybe a little bit longer. I didn't catch fire until I was pretty old, Clem.
It's only a 50-minute podcast, Glenn, so in your own time, mate. just very roughly.
Yeah, okay. So about 7 or 8 years.
Okay, fine. So you've really toiled for this. So how proud are you to have then had the progression, you know, coming up into the top flight and the years you've had with Brighton. Look at that journey there. Do you ever sort of sit down and have a little think, look back, watch a few old highlights of yourself and think, wow, that was all right?
No, not yet. Not yet. I think that time will come, Glenn. Constantly striving. I want more. I mean, you say, are you proud? I don't think about it that way, to be honest. I think that's sort of possibly for my parents to be and things like that, and people around me, my wife and hopefully my kids, what they've seen of it. But yeah, for me, it's about moving forward.
At what point did you think you'd made it?
That's a good question, Clem. I suppose at a lot of points. I've been lucky throughout my career. I've constantly progressed. Yeah. It's been a steady curve of upward momentum over 12, 15 years. So there's been many points where I've thought, that's pretty good, that I've done well there. And then the next one, and then the next one. And yeah.
Constant change all around us. I mean, elsewhere in the Sky Bet Championship, after 6 months in charge, one league win in eight and four consecutive defeats, Bournemouth sacked Jason Tindall to give the club the best possible chance of achieving the goals clearly set out last summer. I mean, this is one of your former clubs as well. And that, it's sad, isn't it? It's a risk that Jason took that gig, but sad as well, Glenn, sometimes, that stalwarts of a club with magnificent long-term history kind of find the risk doesn't work and they're jettisoned from the club they'll always be linked with.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think he spent 22 years there. Yeah. He's a face of the club, that they do keep a lot of ex-players around the place, which I think is really healthy. But it's form, isn't it? That he's been sacked on form. I mean, it's pretty short term. How long they've been out of form, that they've done really well start of the season, and then all of a sudden,
yeah. Only brought in a new head coach in Jonathan Woodgate, announced on Monday. Only re-signed Jack Wilshere. Only brought in Shane Long on loan. So it just goes to show the kind of short-termism. Friday night, obviously, is the big game. It is Swansea at home to Norwich City. Early kickoff on Saturday, Watford visit Coventry. Bournemouth against Birmingham. Middlesbrough entertain Brentford. Reading take a trip to Stoke, and it is Wickham against Nottingham Forest. Do you want to tell us how the move to Forest came about then? How long has it been in work, etc.?
Sort of just last few days of the window, really. Chris reached out to my agent, and as soon as I knew the gaffer was interested, it was somewhere I was willing to go to. Obviously, had a really successful spell together at Brighton, and I know the way he does things. I'm comfortable in the way he does things, and I enjoy playing under him. So yeah, it was a no-brainer for me to leave Watford and head up the motorway to Nottingham.
And does the excitement of joining a new club still hit you in the same way? You're still like wanting to find out about the club? Well, obviously you'd know quite a bit about Nottingham Forest, but you know, do you still got that buzz that first day at training, still having to prove yourself to the group, etc.?
Yeah, without doubt. Yeah, it's always an exciting time, a transfer window. I think I've been lucky enough to get, I think, four moves on the last day of the window. So yeah, always exciting to get a move.
Yeah. So does that mean you have a bag packed like the night before? I mean, this was a Monday on this particularly. Have you got a bag packed on Sunday night and you think, well, I might have to go, I might not be coming home for a few days, so I'll just get sorted? Or have you literally been in the case previously where you've maybe been out and about, you get a call at 4 o'clock saying, get to this destination 2 hours away. You haven't even got a spare pants to take with you, Glenn Murray. You've just got to improvise.
Unfortunately, it's not that exciting, Glenn. You have got some sort of idea that takes sometimes a number of weeks, sometimes days to sort out. Yeah, but I've never sort of been heading somewhere and had the call and had to turn the car around. But I do know players that have had that situation before.
Literally, that must be absolutely amazing. Am I getting a little sense that Forest might just be pulling away? I know, far too close for comfort. I mean, at the moment, 4 points above the drop zone. Chris obviously started well, then seemed to drift back, but you're just getting a sense they'll have enough to survive?
Yeah, definitely. Really, really good squad. Really impressed with the players since I've been there. A lot of really good individuals and a massive win last night at Coventry. And looking forward to another big game at Wickham at the weekend.
And making that contribution. Are you happy to be the kind of cover coming off the bench for Lyle Taylor, for Lewis Grabham? Or do you think, have you still got in your sights to oust one of them from the starting lineup?
Listen, what will be, do you know what I mean? I've just got to try and put my best foot forward. And when I do get chances to get on the pitch, try and impress the gaffer and score goals. And where that takes me, who knows?
What happens in the summer, Glenn Murray?
I've asked that.
Is that it for you? Do you think that'll be it? Do you think the boots will be getting hung up? Or do you think you might just keep getting that extra half a season that becomes a season out of the old body?
Let's see, Clem. I've got 12 weeks hard work at Nottingham Forest, and I want to try and do my very best up there for Chris and Nottingham in general. And who knows? Listen, I've got to the age now where there's sort of no pressure on what happens next. I'm really, really happy with how my career's gone and to the age I've played. So I think that stress of sort of 32, 35 and are you going to keep playing? Is your body going to be all right? That's gone now, and I'm just enjoying every moment I've got left in the game.
Yeah. Forgive me that I should have checked this before we started to record this. Were you in the team promoted with Brighton from League One to the Championship? Tuesday night game, beat Dagenham and Redbridge 4-3.
Yeah, I was.
You were in that. Were you in Revolution Bar that night? Because I was there. I was there with you. And I ended up head down in a bush outside Jury's Inn on Brighton and seafront about 3 o'clock in the morning. That was some celebration. That was some high. Just suddenly dropped into my head there that you were, of course, part of that squad.
Yeah, that's where we were that night, Clem. Yeah, it was a good night. Obviously, it was a huge turning point for the club to get promoted, sort of heading into their new stadium that they'd waited too many years for. So, yeah, and obviously it's that season and that night has sort of been the catalyst for where Brighton are today.
Yeah, although strangely, I don't remember you that night, which almost certainly means you went nowhere near the bar, which almost certainly means when we hit the summer and you finally retire and you take me out for a pub lunch or something like that, I'll expect you to be bringing a crisp £20 note out of your pocket. Final question. It is on plastering. And I notice you've got a lovely gaff all around you. Are you a bit of a stickler when you move into a new house? Are you constantly going around having a little bit of a look at your bricks and mortar and making sure it's all been properly skimmed?
Yeah, sometimes the light casts some shadows on the work. And I just shake my head and move on, Clem.
Do you? You just have to turn a blind eye. Seriously, have you got a garage where you live? You've got a garage?
Yes.
Has it got any plastering gear in it, or have you long since left that behind?
Clem, I couldn't even get the gear off the thing. I was just a labourer. I just used to wipe in and clean the apparatus.
Damn. You see, we had Albert Adoma on earlier in this season as a fully qualified painter and decorator. I was just thinking, you know, I could have connected you with him. We could have got a nice little business going. I'll market it and just take a small cut. You could have skimmed the walls. Albert could have decorated them. What's not to like? Would have given you an option for when you finally do hang up your boots. The only fly in that ointment is, I suspect that's going to be a little while yet, Glenn Murray, don't you?
I hope so, Clem. I do hope so.
Great to talk to you. Thanks for joining us on the official EFL podcast.
Thank you very much for having me, fellas.
The official EFL podcast with Mark Clement.
For some, the route to success is short and instant. For others, it's a little bit more long and winding, like Skybet League 2's current top scorer, Paul Mullen. His football education began with both Everton and Liverpool. He was picked up by Huddersfield Town, but also left them without starting a game. His career did begin to take off to varying degrees with Morecambe, plus Swindon and Tranmere, but it's at Cambridge United, who he joined initially on loan a year ago this week, that things have really sprung into life, with 18 league goals so far for the current table toppers. First question I want to get out of the way, Paul, is have you ever been mistaken for the other Paul Mullen? Because the two of you nearly crossed at Morecambe. He'd only gone 3 years before you turned up. Have you ever been like combined career-wise or anything?
No, I don't think I've ever been mistaken, to be fair. I think a few people have replied when I first started playing online, like, oh, how's he still playing? He must be like 45 now. How's he scored today and stuff like that? Yeah. It used to make me laugh and think, what are they on about? And then obviously I knew who he was, so I was like, that's what he must be thinking, then he's still at Morecambe.
That's exactly what I was talking about. If you took your eye off the ball and weren't, say, concentrating, particularly at Morecambe, for even a couple of seasons, it would have just looked like this bloke, because he's about 20 years older than you, so that would have been some...
He's had some career, hasn't he? Still going now.
Well, fantastic, isn't it? Really is. Tell me something. How were you feeling about yourself when you arrived a year ago compared to how you're feeling about yourself now?
Much the same, really. I had quite a belief, to be fair, that I could go and do what I've done. I've always sort of had that belief in myself, and it was more just the circumstances around me and the way things worked out. And obviously when I've came, I've found a manager who really likes me and suits the way I play and really understands me, and that's boded well for us. I've obviously only played a couple of games first time round, but thought them very well and enjoyed my time here, which led me to want to stay in the summer. And ever since pre-season, it sort of just picked up where it left off, and it felt like I'd been here forever rather than only a couple of weeks last season. So it's more down to the manager, really.
Yeah, which in itself is daft, really, isn't it? That one individual can shape your destiny and your particular time at a football club. But I guess it's if your face fits, you fit the ethos of that manager, fine. If not, that's when the difficulties come.
Well, that's football, isn't it? You know, that's what happens. It's part and parcel of football. But through my career, I've found myself playing out of position, I'd say, left wing, right wing, number 10, sometimes even deeper. And that hasn't been my position from the start, do you know what I mean? And since I've came here, obviously this manager has shown a lot of faith in me to play me where I wanted to play, which is centre forward. And this is the first time I've ever really been given a run in the team of playing centre forward week in, week out. And I'd like to think it's done well up to now, and hopefully it can carry on for us.
Yeah. Pundit yourself, your style of play, what your strengths, what your weaknesses are.
Oh, obviously my strengths is, the minute it looks like it's just goal scoring, but in January I only managed to score one and managed to assist five, so I'd like to think I can help in that department as well. But I think I just work hard, first and foremost. I think that's part of football. You've got to work as hard as you can, and everything else will fall into place. Obviously, there's always party games you want to work on. You want to get better holding the ball up. You want to be more successful in your chances converted and things like that. So you're always looking to improve. But for me, just the first and foremost, and any job, any walk of life is just giving your all every day. And that's obviously what I've done for the last few years. And now I'm starting to see some benefits of it.
Yeah, he used the word just goal scoring about 90 seconds ago, and I nearly jumped in and went, wait a second, I don't care if you wander around. As long as you get me a goal every other game, you can do what the hell you like out on the pitch. Or do you not see it like that? Do you always feel that pressure to earn your stripes in other ways?
Yeah, definitely, because when you're playing football, you're never guaranteed to play anyway. I found that other clubs beforehand, I've played up front, scored a goal. Next game, I find myself sitting on the bench or playing right wing, and I was like, what's going on here? So you never rest on your laurels in football. And for me, you've got to give your all and try as hard as you can every game to earn the right to play the next week. And whether you score or not, if you've give your all and you've give the team what they need without scoring a goal, then hopefully you can find yourself in the team.
And once you have a season like you are having, are you constantly looking at the scoring charts in the division? As soon as you come in and you get sorted and everything, are you going, oh no, he's got another one for Leighton Orient. Oh no. Oh, I'm glad he's moved on to Cardiff and he's not. Are you doing that all the time?
No, to be fair, that's one of them things I don't really
you
try
liar.
To look at and think about.
You liar. No. You're not telling me you don't look at those charts occasionally.
I'm telling you now, I don't check them after games, to be fair. It's more so when people mention it to me. But I think it would be different if I was the one trying to catch someone. I think I'd be looking to see if they've scored, see if I'm how far behind, etc. they am. But for me, if I just take care of myself, what will be, do you know what I mean? You can't control that. You just do your best and try and score as many as you can, and that'll all take care of itself in the end anyway.
How did you bounce back from the disappointment of not making it on Merseyside or not making it at Huddersfield, and how challenging were those times for you?
I think that's a time of all young lads. You grow up and you think you're going to play for your boyhood team, don't you? Quite deluded, and you have your mum and dad who obviously tell you, look, it's quite certain that might not happen, like it's a tiny percentage, but as a kid in your head, you always have the belief, oh, like, I can be that one. So when that does come to an end, it's sort of like your world's just smashed, you know what I mean? It's just smashed and there's nothing else you can do, and it's a time just to reflect, and obviously I wasn't great, but it was one of those things.
Is there a point at which you have to accept and embrace the level that you're playing at and still feel good about yourself, that you are a professional footballer, and many, 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 many people don't get to achieve that?
Yeah, well, obviously, as a kid, you set out to become a professional footballer. You don't know what level that's going to be at. So obviously, a lot of us have all achieved our dreams and achieved dreams that a lot of people had wished they had, but I don't think you can ever, as a footballer, be happy with where you are, but you're not going to stand still. You want to keep improving and go as high as you can, but otherwise, what's the point in playing anymore if you're not chasing success? So for me, more importantly, it's just I want to play as high as I can in my life and do as well as I can in my football career, so when I finish I can be proud of what I achieved, although up to now I'm proud of becoming a footballer. I want to get even better.
Did you nearly come to move during the January window? Was the stuff, you don't have to tell me what it is, but was there a possibility you could have moved? I say this because it looks perfect timing that we've got you on a year after you arrived at Cambridge, but actually the club themselves were quite keen for you not to do any interviews over the last few weeks to lift your profile anymore. So were the people sniffing about?
Yeah, Jürgen Klopp rang me last week.
Nice. Yeah, you wanted to finish the season, did you, with Cambridge?
Yeah, I told them the Champions League's not for me, so League Two's where it's at. So I want to stay for the rest of the season. But no, there was a lot of interest, you know, and that's going to be the case. But I want to stay at Cambridge, and to be honest, there's a record at Cambridge of 24 league goals that I want to try and get to. And to be honest, as I just said, I want to be successful and getting another promotion. It just go away for me to feel even better when I do eventually come to an end. So I want to stay here and try and get promoted. And that was my aim. And obviously now it's 100% going to happen.
Yeah. We had Ben Gibson on last week, who's on loan from Burnley at Norwich. And he was saying how much he loved the area and discovering something a bit different. And all your clubs, let me just double check. Oh, no, you were at Swindon. Obviously, that is in the south. I was going to do that question about the characteristics between a northern club and a southern club and how long it takes to acclimatise. And are there real sort of differences, do you think, depending on where you are in the country?
Yeah, I think our changing room at Tranmere was pretty special. You know, we were all close. Most of the lads were from Liverpool, and it was a really tight-knit group. And then when I came down here, it's obviously still a tight-knit group. It's just different styles of people and the way that people go about things. And to be honest, I like to think I'm good at fitting in at a new team or a new set of lads and just being myself, do you know what I mean? I like to lift the spirits and keep things high and have a lot of banter and I just brought that with me and just take that where I go. And that's just me, do you know what I mean? I don't think it's too hard to fit in anywhere as long as you're just yourself, because then you're true to you and nothing else will matter.
The League Two fixtures this weekend. Well, actually, fourth don't play third because Cheltenham still have COVID in the camp and their game against Carlisle is off. Forest Green travel to Mansfield. It's Newport against Grimsby. Top v bottom clash there. Morecambe are at Stevenage. Tranmere are at Port Vale and Cambridge travel to Barrow. And I suppose what is particularly impressive about Cambridge United this season, Paul, is you obviously started on an absolute flyer, 5 wins in the first 7. Then you had your blip and drifted out. But to come back again shows the character of the manager and the squad, does it not?
Yeah, well, obviously, in the summer, the manager said to me he wants to try and build a group with a lot of leaders in who can help each other. Because obviously, as I said, when we were at Tranmere, I said to him when I came, like, the group of lads will get you through tough times or good times. It's the group in the changing rooms that will get each other through and turn corners or keep things going, and that's the most important thing. And Bonds, the manager's obviously took in the summer a lot of time into getting leaders into the team and people who are going to be good people more than anything, and that stood us in good stead. We never once thought we were going to do badly, do good. We just take every game as it comes. It's a cliche in everyone, probably every interview you'll hear it, but it is true. We just literally have to concentrate on each and every game and perform to our best. And then after 46 games, we can look and see where it took us.
Yeah. Having turned Liverpool down, though, in the last week, you'd be disappointed if you didn't go on to get promoted at a League Two, wouldn't you?
Yeah, that's the aim. Do you know what I mean? It's probably the aim for a lot of clubs in League Two at the moment. The league's very tight and anything can happen. 2 or 3 weeks' time, people can find themselves in 10 places different. So nothing's ever taken for granted. You never know where you could end up. But obviously the aim as a footballer is always to be successful and finish as high up the table as possible. And hopefully that does mean promotion this season. But if not, it won't be for the lack of trying.
Well, listen, congratulations on having a great season so far. Good luck on breaking that club record of 24 goals. And I can only say that Jurgen Klopp's loss is our gain. Because it's been a pleasure having you on the Official EFL podcast. Thanks for being with us, Paul.
Cheers, mate. Thank you.
This is the Official EFL podcast.
It's still impossible to make sense of the Sky Bet League One table with all the postponements, meaning teams have played different amounts of games. But the form table is very clear. AFC Wimbledon are at the bottom, just 2 points from their last possible 33, led to the end of Glyn Hodges' year and a half as manager. Oxford United are fast-tracking towards the playoffs after 7 consecutive league wins and 9 in all competitions, and after 8 wins in their last 9 in the league and with games in hand. Darren Moore and Doncaster Rovers are very handily placed for the top. Do you, like me, look at the table, Darren, and do you have to get your fingers and thumbs out and start working out who'd be where once they've played games in hand, etc., or do you try not to look at it?
Yeah, no, I don't really look at the league table, and people will say to me that, no, you're joking, Darren, but I literally do not look at the league table. We play games, and once a game's finished, it's just on to the next one, really. And I've not looked at I couldn't tell the last time that I looked at the league table, if I'm perfectly honest, really.
Does that happen more towards the end of a season? Let's say, for example, there might be a game coming up where it's a tough away game. You'll always go into it looking to win, but you know a point would probably be enough. Would you start to look at it more as the campaign draws to a head, the last 6-8 games?
Yeah, possible. But I mean, the way I look at it, Mark, is that I don't really worry about that, because if it is the case, then, you know, we'll deal with it when it comes around to it, you know. But it's pointless worrying about it now. What we just do is just focus on now, and it's just on really on to the next game, really. And just trying to just approach the end game like we always do with any other game in preparation for the game, because we know that they're tough games.
Okay, so how do you capitalise on the momentum? Because moments of form like you're in now are still relatively rare in football. How do you allow the boys to enjoy the moment, but at the same time not let them get carried away or think that the job is done?
Yeah, no, really good question. And I mean, it's just really is maintaining the same heartbeat in terms of the same training sessions and games that we have at the start of the season. And honestly, Mark, it is no different than what we've been doing at the start of the season in terms of how we prepare, how we train. There's no different to us at all. Irrespective of when we played in the cup match against Premier League opposition, which we had a couple of weeks ago, or we playing somebody in the league, there's always a same element to us, really. And I think that's the real the important thing, is to try and maintain that consistency. Mark, yeah, the old cliche, we really don't get too high in the highs and we don't get too low in the lows. It's just continuing and maintaining that level of commitment in training to try and get better. And that's what it is. We're always trying to get better.
Yes, Darren, and I totally respect what you're saying. But if we take the weekend where your goalkeeper saves 2 penalties, surely the boys have got to be given what? The bus journey home to enjoy that moment, or their day off on Sunday and then you cap it on Monday morning?
Yeah, I think that's the and especially when you've got a week where we've not had a midweek fixture this week, and the boys would have enjoyed it on the way back on the bus, and I'm sure their Sunday spent at home with family, they would have enjoyed that as well. But you are right, Mark. Come back in Monday morning and we just work as normal as we normally will for the week. And we have been working again this week normally with a build-up for another entertaining game on Saturday. So you are right. That probably day and a half is probably when they will enjoy it. From a manager's point of view, you go back and you know, you appreciate the win and it's another 3 points, and you know, you allow yourself a little bit of rest time to recuperate, and then you're ready to go again. And literally when you wake up Sunday morning, it literally has gone, and then you are looking to focus on the week ahead in the build-up for the next game.
How much is your current success driven by your own principles and beliefs? And how much is it driven by the club saying, look, this is the sort of style we'd like to play. This is what we want from the club.
Yes, my own principles and belief. Yes, I do like to play football in a certain way. Yes, both the football and what the club are looking to do in terms of that both marry up the same in terms of playing that the type of football that we do. And it's just something that both myself and the club, we're trying to get better at it, trying to tweak things and trying to get them better and not trying to stand still, really, in terms of it. So from both aspects, it works really well. And, you know, I'm really pleased to be at the football club. It's a lovely club, as you know, Clem. It's a real, real good community club. And, you know, it works well. And I'm just trying to do our bit on the footballing side for the wonderful community of Doncaster.
And do you think, in a perverse sort of way, do you think there might be any sort of advantages to be taken out of the curtailment of the season last time around, in so much as you were right in contention, the matter ended up being taken out of your hands, but effectively you've had that little bit longer to lay a really firm base?
Yeah, I mean, you're right in terms of last year, there's nothing we can do about it. And this season, we've tried to just continue from where we've left off from last year. And that's all we've tried to do, is continue that base that we had last year and try and maintain that, and not maintain it, but look to try and get better. And that's what we've always tried to do, and that won't stop. And I think that's where, you know, this season, you know, there's some wonderful teams in division. I think it's a competitive league, as you know, and we just got to keep focusing on and looking to get better at certain elements of the game in and out of possession that we're trying to aspire to do. So with us, we always feel there's work to be done week after week, month after month, as long as the season's going on.
Yeah. I mean, how much has your West Brom experience motivated you? A, wanting to bounce back after losing your job, but B, obviously the desire to work at the highest possible level you can.
I think for me, and then I would imagine any manager would say, in any managerial job that you've had, I would say that there's always going to be an element of experience from job to job, and you just refine yourself even more. So I think getting in at the West Brom job was great. You're going to ask me the question, am I doing anything different? Not really. I'm doing the same principles I did there, the same principles I've carried here, and just getting better at them, really. Just trying to get better at all angles, really, in terms of the work that we've been doing. So you just learn. I think you just learn and develop an experience over the course of time. So, of course, the experience there would have done me the world of good. And, you know, I've come here and working with those same principles going forward. And you know, and even myself, Mark, I'm trying to get better in myself at that, you know, which is always a continuous learning.
We can't have a conversation about the football side of things without mentioning the old man in your squad, James Coppinger. It's his final season, isn't it? 40 years old, Darren. I mean, it's extraordinary. But what a character to have in and around the squad, to have somebody that's so entrenched in the values of the club.
No, I'm really, really grateful that I've had the opportunity to work with James. And you know, he's such a wonderful man, and obviously, you know, the footballer he is absolutely superb. And, you know, you hear a lot of opposition managers come in and, you know, they speak, you know, openly and just says, like, he defies logic at still contributing at League One level and contributing to the team at the age of 40. And, you know, I'm trying to hold him back on the training ground and trying to leave it for games on a Saturday or midweek when called upon, really. But he just loves the training side. And, you know, he's expressed a desire that this is his last season. He's expressed that, you know, he wants to score 6 more goals from now to the end of the season to cap off 100 league goals, which is such a wonderful desire. And, you know, I'm every bit in his camp in terms of, you know, the opportunities will come for him over the next half of the season, as long as he stays fit and able to get in and try and continue to drive the younger players on like he has been doing. He's been absolutely superb, and I'm really grateful to have the opportunity of working with him.
Yeah, I can see the smile in your face. I can't see you as we're doing this, but I can almost picture the smile on your face. Yeah. I mean, it's a wonderful story. Sadly, I've got to switch tack, and I've got to apologise, as I always have to, because you're one of the few black managers working at a top level in the game. And I'm apologising because I hate the fact we have to discuss these issues virtually every time you and I have a chat. But we have had this proliferation of racial abuse of senior black players on social media. It's been a big talking point throughout the last week. Are you bewildered, Darren, that after all the effort football has made recently, some people out there not only hold these views, but simply don't get it in being so willing to express them?
Yeah, I mean, the mere fact that we are still talking about it shows that, you know, there's been tremendous work being done, but there's still a lot more work still needs to be done, because still, unfortunately, there's people out there that just plain and simply, like you said, Mark, just don't get it. They just don't get it. They just don't see sort of the woods through the trees, so to speak, or whatever, however you want to put it. But so we have to keep beating the drum. We have to keep educating them. We have to keep repeating ourselves. We have to keep, you know, the players still have to keep taking the knee for those purposes. You know, everybody's moaning, you know, you have one or two fractions, people saying, why are they still taking the knee for the very reasons what's happened last week with those multitude of Premier League players getting abuse on these social network feeds, just openly put out there for the world to see. And as you know, we all don't condone it. So whatever, we don't condone it. We have to ask the question with the social feeds, how easily these things are put out there, and they have such a huge negative connotation and bring trauma to the players and the families and the loved ones. And, you know, yet people can freely and openly put these messages out there because they just don't understand the simple dynamics of what we're standing for, and will continue to stand and continue to stay united on this front until we see more apparent change. And in the whole market, it's not just about the players, it's about the communities that we all live in. And so there's a lot of work to be done, but we'll continue the campaign and stand strong in it.
Thank you for sharing your thoughts on that. League One fixtures this coming weekend, then Friday night, Lincoln travel to Gillingham. Accrington Stanley fresh off their 6-1 win over Bristol Rovers entertain Northampton. Hull go to Burton. Fleetwood under Simon Grayson for the first time entertain Bristol Rovers. Sunderland travel to MK Dons. Peterborough at home to Crewe. It's the Dockyard Derby. Some people like me saying that, some people don't. I just said it. Portsmouth, Plymouth. But there is the rather juicy matter of a game between the team that we are just talking to the manager of and the team I mentioned in his introduction, Oxford, and those 7 consecutive league wins. I mean, what a titanic prospect this game is. When they're in form and you're in form, and I know you're just going to tell me, oh, we only concentrate on what we can do. But but you must surely take into account just what form they are in and the sort of emotions that will be flowing through their squad at the moment as well, Darren. You've got to factor that in, surely.
Yeah, no, he's done an absolute superb job there, Carl. And I'm not just saying the fact of that because he's consistently been there of the last, what, 3 seasons? You know, they finished 4th last year. So they continue to show the form. And, you know, you look on paper with their squad, they've more or less got 2 squads at this level of really good players. So does it surprise me what they're doing? No. Are they showing true form in terms of what the squad can do? Yes. And it bodes well for a great game of football at the weekend. He's very, very well experienced at this level, Carl. He knows what it takes. And certainly he'll be looking to go one step, if not go all the way, to getting the job done this year. And his team is certainly in the ascendancy. And, you know, probably two teams that's probably in the form guide at the moment go head-to-head on Saturday. So it bodes well for a neutral in terms of a good game of football. And I hope that it lives up to that and it's a good advert for League One.
Always a pleasure. We appreciate you joining us on the Official EFL podcast.
Cheers, Mark. Thank you.
That's it for this episode. A big thank you to Darren Moore, Paul Mullen and Glenn Murray. If you've enjoyed it, then please do give us a 5-star rating, press the subscribe button and please share on your socials. If you'd like to get in touch, our email address is podcast@efl.com. That's podcast@efl.com. My name's Mark Clement. Thanks very much for listening. See you next week for another episode of
The Official EFL Podcast.